This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Everyone, is it that time already? Really? Hey, it's Alan Ellis here for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. This is where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and whatever's on your mind. First hour of the show, folks, you're in charge. You're bringing the subject matter. You're bringing it all to our attention here, to our vast listening audience. And, you know, you're welcome to challenge me or whatever you'd like to do, because we would be very pleased to have a conversation with you. And it's very simple. If you're listening, I'm sure you're listening on a radio somewhere that is near a telephone, cell phone, tablet, something, dial phone, that you can make that call. And when you call in, Brian will screen your call, and he'll ask you your name and where you're calling from and what your subject is. And within a few seconds, you should be on the air, or a few minutes, depending on how many calls are stacked up. So we'd love to hear from you. And anything that you'd like to talk about regarding those three subjects, that would be fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, we'll be more than glad to talk to you about. We talk some politics here, but mostly local stuff or stuff that's affecting us as sportsmen in America. We talk a little bit of that. We don't get into the national politics. I don't want to talk about a particular candidate or the debate or anything else like that this past week. And I just, we talk about other stuff here. Take your mind off of all that other stuff that you hear all week long. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have Mike Luisi from DNR who'll be here. And interesting stuff coming up on about the summer flounder decisions that have been made recently, and also on some sharks offshore and inshore, I guess. So we'll talk about that with Mike. That comes up the 6 o'clock hour. So we're here for 2 hours. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about the first hour. And so why doesn't someone start it off with a phone call? That's 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. You can call 800 WCBM 680, 800-922-6680. If you're listening, you know, let's say on the Eastern Shore, somewhere outside the local, maybe Western Maryland, somewhere outside the local dialing area, you can use that 800 number, which is only good in Maryland, of course. So you can do that. If you're listening online, you can send me an email. Let me open up the email here and see if I got any emails from anybody. Let's see. Oh, there's one I sent myself. Okay. There's one from my ad art director. Okay. Well, how do we want to start it off here? Let's see. Had a couple interesting meetings this week, one with the Department of Budget and Economic Development, working on a project with them, and then another one with a person of interest who has an issue for the Maryland Hunting Coalition to address in the upcoming session, and we hope that we'll be able to put a strategy together for that particular subject. I'm not going to talk about it at the moment. Not time to talk about it, but when it's appropriate, I will. And I didn't get to go fishing this week again. Been working on the fall issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. A lot of good stuff coming up in that. And let's talk to John in Baltimore. Hey, John, how are you?
Morning.
How are you?
Oh, tired.
Yeah, me too, brother. Been a long week.
Yes, we both had to get up and go to work this morning.
I guess I consider this work, but I'll be going home and going to work, so that's all right.
Okay.
So what's up?
Listen, well, I have three young boys, and
yeah,
unlike me, they've never had the opportunity to do skeet shooting or anything like that. We're not really hunters very much and don't have our own guns, but I wanted to give them an opportunity to see what skeet shooting is all about.
Okay.
And a shotgun. How many options besides expensive private clubs?
Are there any public properties? Yeah. I think Marriottsville Gun Club has trap and skeet shooting open to the public. You have to check with their website. I don't have that at my fingertips, but it's down there on Marriottsville Road. I think they have a night that they do public clay bird shooting. Carroll County Sportsman's Club. I'm not sure if Lock Raven Trap and Skeet has anything open to the public, but those are three pretty close clubs. The one out on Liberty Road is out just past Eldersburg on Liberty Road, headed west. I think there's Wednesday night, if I remember right. And Marriottsville Road is in Baltimore County. That's where Associated Gun Clubs is. There's a range down there, and you can check their website and see when their open nights are. And as far as this expensive private clubs are concerned, there's a lot of public. There's a number of public places out there that are open to more sporting clays than trap and skeet. And I'm not sure if you're specifically asking about skeet itself or skeet and trap or sporting clays comes into that for you or not. But I personally like the sporting clays. It's a lot more fun.
Okay, and the first one you said was Marriottsville?
Yeah, it's Associated Gun Clubs on Marriottsville Road, AGC.
All right, thanks a lot.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. See ya. Quick, easy, fast. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And here we are talking about trap and skeet and sporting clays, which is fine. Fine, fine, fine. So, all right. Well, Walt Palmer, a dentist from Minneapolis, is well-renowned as far as the hunting world is concerned. And many of you saw the photo that was online of Walter Palmer with a lion. And he was accused of killing a lion by the name of Cecil in a country called Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe is a wild and woolly place, especially because their ruler is insane. This is from the opinion pages of the New York Times, no less. An op-ed page, opinion page, contributor, followed by the name of Goodwill Nzou, N-Z-O-U. And Mr. Nzou is a doctoral student in molecular and cellular biosciences at Wake Forest University. And we got another call coming in. So, oh, how about that? There's Gitta in Aberdeen. Well, why don't we talk to Gitta, and then we'll talk about this op-ed piece about Cecil the Lion. Gitta, how are you?
I'm good. I listen to you every Saturday morning because I'm an early riser. I found a deer on the side of the road, and it's a baby. It still has the spots, I don't know, maybe 6 months old, maybe less than that.
Right.
The chicken hawks are eating the... I cut it open, put it in my yard. I'm sure they're done eating it because they was there last night, and I want to cure the hide. How do I do that?
Oh, my. Have you skinned that animal yet?
No, I haven't skinned it. No, all I did was cut it open, took the guts out,
yeah,
and then I laid it out in my yard. I have a fence. I have 7 acres here. So
right. No, Gitta, I'm afraid to tell you that number one. If you don't have a permit, and you can simply get one, any local law enforcement can help you with that. That possession of that animal right now is against the law. On your, even though, you know, since you've taken possession of it, you field dressed it. And as far as the hide is concerned, it's too late. In a situation,
you can't save it.
No, it's too late. In a weather conditions like we've had here in the last couple of days, that hide is already, the bacteria in that hide have already started to work within, between the layers of the skin, between the dermis and the epidermis. And what'll happen is the hide, the hair will slip off of the hide, which means it just pretty much, disintegrates.
Okay, well, I just thought it would be nice to have the hide, but
it would be beautiful to have that hide, but
yeah.
And I agree with you, but it would be unfortunately that it takes a proper care immediately on that animal. And
well, see, I didn't know that. I am
sure.
Not a hunter, and
no.
I am.
Well, that's why you called me, right?
No, I just know. It was going to waste on the side of the road, you know, being
sure.
run over. And I can't see. I grew up in World War II in Germany, you
sure.
know. Didn't have too much to eat. So
right.
For that reason, I picked it up, because I know the chicken hawks, they come to my yard a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean. So
yeah,
and,
now,
and
these are big black birds that...
The big black ones.
Uh-huh.
And they fight with each other, too, you know.
Sure. Sure. What you have there are two different species of carrion eating birds, and what I mean by that is you've got the black buzzard, that's the one with the black head, and the one with the red head is a turkey vulture.
Yeah, well, I'm not familiar. I just know they come and they ate it, you know.
Sure. Sure, and oh. once it's to that point, there's no redeeming the hide at all.
Well,
and I'm sorry to hear that, but you know,
yeah. Well, you know, sometimes things get run over. You know,
sometimes they do.
I didn't do it; somebody else.
Well,
did.
Of course, yeah, of course.
So, but I appreciate your program; it's very interesting.
And if I were you, and what I would do would be drag that carcass back in the woods and let it return to nature.
Let nature take care of it.
That's right.
I will certainly do that.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
bye
you,
Gitta.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. There you go. All right. Back to the New York Times. And you're certainly welcome to call. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM, 1-800-922-6680. This was August 4th. This is by Goodwill Nzue, and the title of the piece is "In Zimbabwe, We Don't Cry for Lions." Winston-Salem, North Carolina. My mind was absorbed by the biochemistry of gene editing when the text messages and Facebook posts distracted me. So sorry about Cecil. Did Cecil live near your place in Zimbabwe? Cecil who? I wondered. When I turned on the news and discovered that the messages were about a lion killed by an American dentist, the village boy inside me instinctively cheered. One lion fewer to menace families like mine. My excitement was doused when I realized the lion killer was being painted as the villain. I faced the starkest cultural contradiction I'd experienced during my 5 years studying in the United States. Did all those Americans signing petitions understand that lions actually kill people? That all the talk about Cecil being beloved or a local favorite was media hype? Did Jimmy Kimmel choke up because Cecil murdered or because he confused him with Simba from The Lion King? Because Cecil was murdered or because he confused him with Simba from The Lion King? In my village in Zimbabwe, surrounded by wildlife conservation areas, no lion has ever been beloved or granted an affectionate nickname. They are objects of terror. When I was 9 years old, a solitary lion prowled villages near my home. After it killed a few chickens, some goats, and finally a cow, we were warned not to walk to school, or we were warned to walk to school in groups and stop playing outside. My sisters no longer went along alone to the river to collect water or wash dishes. My mother waited for my father and older brothers, armed with machetes, axes, and spears, to escort her into the bush to collect firewood. A week later, my mother gathered me with nine of my siblings to explain that her uncle had been attacked, but escaped with nothing more than an injured leg. The lion sucked the life out of the village. No one socialized by fires at night. No one dared stroll over to a neighbor's homestead. When the lion was finally killed, no one cared whether its murderer was a local person or a white trophy hunter. Whether it was poached or killed legally, we danced and sang about the vanquishing of the fearsome beast and our escape from serious harm. Recently, a 14-year-old boy in a village not far from mine wasn't so lucky. Sleeping in his family's fields, as villagers do, to protect crops from the hippos, buffaloes, and elephants that trample them, he was mauled by a lion and died. More after this. Let's talk to Melanie in Dundalk. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
Hi, Alan. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Great. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful.
What's up?
I actually, not to change the subject, I actually wanted to ask you something for a couple weeks. Has anybody ever caught Diamond Jim?
A lady caught Diamond Jim 2 years ago, I believe.
Seriously? I was just curious, because I never really hear you say anything about somebody catching him.
Well, Diamond Jim's retired this year. After last year, Diamond Jim has been retired.
Oh, okay.
They've taken the money, and you've heard me talk about the money you can win. They've got the $25,000 in cash that used to be the bounty on Diamond Jim for catching him, and they have distributed that across the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
Oh, well, gosh. God bless them. I'm glad they got the money. That's great.
Yeah. So that's coming up here on September 13th at Sandy Point State Park, and there's going to be $6,000 in each of the three regions across Maryland that's going to be given away to anglers. There's another $2,000 up for grabs if you're a master angler and you catch a citation or an award-sized fish in each of the three regions. And then there's going to be $5,000 in random cash drawings right there at the event. So somebody's going to win some money.
How about that? I'm hoping to me.
Well, there you go.
I'll line out.
Yeah, you better get out there.
All right, Alan, you have a blessed day.
How you been? Are you still in the tent?
I certainly am.
Well, cool.
Yep. I love this life.
I'm glad you do.
All right, well, it was good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Melanie. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. And Joe in Abington. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
Doing great. What's up?
A couple times before. I enjoyed your show.
Thanks.
I have a comment, and I'd like to get your thoughts about it, too. Last weekend, we were rock fishing down to Bay Bridge.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was the perfect tide, the perfect moon, the whole nine yards. Chartered boats were out there chumming. Everybody was grinding and chunking. And we were watching these guys. I mean, they were catching 14, 15-inch striper throwing back.
Yep.
And I know I'd be willing to bet half of them probably weren't used to circle hooks. And we throw artificials because, you know, we just like that better. Anyway, long story short, we went down more towards the towers and then started working our way back up towards...
Now, were you trolling? You were trolling?
And we must have counted 10 floaters.
Are you trolling?
No, we just cast. We go up to the bridge pylons and cast.
Bucktails?
We counted about 10 floaters, dead fish going by. Now, I know nothing goes to waste in nature, but, you know, isn't that kind of killing the future of the resource?
You would think, yes. You would think. Yep. Well, what would you like me to say, Joe? That you guys out there who are chumming with barbs on your hook and aren't using circle hooks and catching those fish in the mouth or killing them? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean because they're using the wrong hook either. I mean, they could be mishandling those fish, but circle hooks certainly cut down on the chances of those incidents happening. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of people out there that are into the fishing, but not into the conservation.
I mean, I know it's a catch-22 situation.
What do you mean?
If you lower the size of the fish, well, then they're going to kill even younger ones. It just really kind of hit us the wrong way that, you know, here we're trying to take care of our fish, you know, and see all that going on. And I know the charter captain, it's a business for them, it's an industry. I respect that, but it just just hit us the wrong way. I just thought I'd
Well, you would think the charter captain would be set up with circle hooks. Mm-hmm. You would think.
Uh-huh.
That they would want to ensure their own future. And, you know, who knows where these floaters, as you call them, came from, whether they came from a commercial boat, you know, I mean, a charter boat, or if they came from a recreational angler, because there's a lot of boats out there.
Right.
There's a lot of boats out there, and you know, there are a lot of fish. And I tend to agree with you. I mean, what do you do if that fish takes the chum all the way down and, you know, you don't get... Look, it's easy to catch a fish when you're chumming and they're biting. Easy, you know. So why not make it easy on yourself and learn how to do it, you know. That's all I'm saying. You take a circle hook, put a chunk of chum on there, fish bites, reel it in. I mean, there's no setting hook or anything like that. They hook themselves on the circle hook. You hook them in the mouth. They're undersized. You take your pliers and you flip them back in, or your D-hooker and flip them back in. Now, you know, there's people who use all kinds of hooks because they're cheap and they're this and they're that, and they don't get the conservation ethic of it. And, you know, I get that they don't get it. But, you know, we tend to know everything as hunters and anglers. You know what I mean? We tend to know everything. Rather than seeking advice, going to the tackle shop, saying, you know, what do you go, hey, oh, where are they biting on? Where are they biting? You know, you say, well, what's the best equipment to use? And any tackle shop worth its salt's going to say, well, if you want to, you know, there's a lot of undersized fish out there. You're going to want to use these circle hooks so you can release the fish. I'm with you. I'm with you, Joe.
What other quick comment? What have you heard about crabbing? Anything?
Crabbing should be pretty good right now. Of course, the full moon, we had a tremendous shed and peeler run. So I'm guessing most of the crabs are sloughed out. They're probably growing bigger and better even as we speak. So I'm thinking that the crab numbers are really good. I know the market's come way down. So, you know, I haven't been on top of that, quite frankly, as much as I should have. But I've just been overwhelmed, overworked and underpaid, so to speak. So, you know, so
you need to retire, Alan.
No, I can't do that. So, no, I enjoy what I do too much. So,
yeah, I understand.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Nice talking with you.
All right, give them that message. Use those circle hooks. Save those fish. It's your future.
We're heading down to Tasco this morning. We'll see what's going on down there.
I got you. All right, see ya.
See ya. Yeah,
thanks, Joe. Bye bye. Hey, do you like to fish in Maryland? Who doesn't? You like winning prizes like cash, boat, fishing trip, or equipment, no strings attached, just fish to win. 67 species across Maryland from Garrett County to Ocean City. That covers the whole state, 23 counties. Win cash and prizes for fishing in your favorite Maryland fishing hole. $25,000 in guaranteed cash prizes. Cash prizes. $25,000 in guaranteed cash prizes. Did I say the prizes were guaranteed cash prizes? $6,000 in each of the three regions across Maryland, non-title, Chesapeake Bay and Atlantic, freshwater, title, and off the coast. Master Anglers, all you do is catch an award-sized fish in each of the three regions, and you're automatically entered to win $2,000 in cash. So you got $6,000 in each of the three regions. That's 3 times $6,000. That's $18,000. Another $2,000 for the Master Anglers, and $5,000 in random cash drawings at the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale event. So you keep and catch invasive species of any size, and you could qualify for a special prize drawing. It's all in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and you can get all the information on the Maryland Fishing Challenge either in your rule book that you got with your fishing license, online, or at www.dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bed liners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, feed your dog what dogs used to feed themselves. That's Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet with grain-free, high-protein kibble, and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Backcountry's made in the USA for dogs who love exploring it. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is the Mark Levin Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. The following segment was pre-recorded 1 hour ago for broadcast at this time.
Uptown got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got a big gym, a walker here, bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he's big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because. And you see, you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Out of South Alabama, come a country boy, sitting looking for a man named Jim. I am a bull shooting boy, my name is Willie McCoy.
Willie McCoy, yeah, Willie. Yeah, well, that was a sad ending there to Jim, I guess. Anyway, yeah, this is not Mark Levin, by the way. Although, if you want, you know, you big dope. I can, you know, I can kick you off the air if you want, but I would never, ever kick Fran off the air. Good morning, dear.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Listen, you know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. It was at the end of your show.
Yes, ma'am.
If I recall, you mentioned something about people were thinking about a new procedure where they were allowed people that thought they were interested in hunting.
Yes.
The adults would have 1 year, and I think the kids 3 years.
Right.
That they didn't have to take the hunting safety course.
That's correct.
They could just go out there with a trained person, and for a year they could see if they like it.
That's right.
And you said some people didn't particularly care for that idea. I just wanted to express that I strongly am against it.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. And let's just deal with the adults. You know, adults have a lot of issues. And when they go out there and they haven't taken that hunting safety course, you know, they have a tendency to do what you tell them not to not do what you tell them to do, hard-headed, egotistical, you know. And I think it's disrespectful and dangerous to the other hunters if they haven't been experienced or at least taken the course. It is not a video game. It is something that you either decide that you really want and you take the course because you're serious about it. Everybody thinks about, oh, we'll go in the woods and we'll hunt and we'll kill the other species. You might kill each other. And you need to at least show respect You don't be on the fence. This is not a wishy-washy thing. You either really interested, you take the course. At least you can know how to protect yourself and the other hunters. When I was a teenager, I was friends with a girl, and her father and his friend would go hunting all the time. One day, his friend shot him, and he didn't die, but we thought, oh, God. And I would have never gone hunting with a gun being myself. But anyway, they went hunting again. He accidentally, supposedly, shot him and killed him the second time. So I could say, this is not a game. It's a sport. It's a lifestyle. It's a culture. But you really need to take it seriously. And I'm very strong against a bunch of people all of a sudden jumping up and saying, I think I'll go see if I like it. Because we're not sure if they're really going to listen or follow instructions from the trained person. And I think if they take the course, they'll understand just how serious it is.
Well, Fran, I think that you've expressed an opinion that doesn't get put out there much at all. Here's what you were referring to on page 4 of the new hunting guide in a message from the wildlife director. It says, let's see. Several years ago, we conducted a survey of New Maryland hunter education graduates. Approximately 75% of respondents said that they love to hunt and want to hunt more, but are often foreclosed from those opportunities because their family or adult mentor has other commitments, or their friends lack the time to attend the traditional hunter safety class and join them afield. To address the former, we will continue to increase opportunities to make hunting more accessible to ensure more Marylanders may participate. Our Junior Hunter Days and New Hunting 101 workshops are just two examples of our ongoing commitment to recruiting and reinvesting in the hunting community. That's good. To address the latter, we're pleased to announce that a new hunting apprentice program in Maryland. Working with our peers in the Maryland Natural Resources Police, we will begin offering a mentored program that will allow a junior or new adult hunter the opportunity to try the sport for 3 years or 1 year, respectively. The new hunter must hunt with an experienced adult and must always be in close contact with the mentor. After the trial period, the first-timer must complete the requisite hunter safety requirements. We're hopeful that this model, practiced by several dozen jurisdictions across North America, will ease the path to a solid future generation of hunter education participants without jeopardizing the remarkable safety record of Maryland sportsmen. Details on the new program will be forthcoming in the fall 2015. So we don't know what that is. The announcement's out there by the director, but we don't know what the details of that program are. These programs are... There are a number of these programs across the country. I don't know that there have been any safety issues with them. But that's a very good question, a very good point you make, Fran. And it will now require me to do a little more research into that and how many states have that mentored hunter program. So I appreciate that call. And I appreciate your concern because you want to be safe out there. You stepped up. You, a woman from Baltimore City who has never hunted before, who listens to this show, who attended our fundraiser in Westminster, who got interested in hunting at this age, and who is, I believe, signed up for a hunter safety course, aren't you?
Yes, I have. I'm so excited and nervous, and I want to do well. But, like I say, I took it seriously.
Sure.
I wouldn't even think of it, because accidents do happen. I just feel that this course... for what I think it involves, really helps you have a better understanding and outlook of what you may be in for and how to be careful. You're out there to shoot the prey, but you're not out there to shoot your others, your neighbors,
right.
People you don't know, and maybe even shoot yourself.
It's not target practice out there. It's a very serious endeavor. Exactly right. Yes.
Right.
And you know, one of the safest, I mentor two people. I mentor Laura, who I've mentioned before, who's 36 or 37 years old. Shot 3D with her a couple of weekends ago. And, I've watched Laura in the field. And I also mentor my grandson, who's 15 this year. He'll be 16 in November,
right.
Jacob. And those are two of the safest people in the woods that I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Ever. And, Jacob is very, very, very focused on on safety, as is Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And I have every confidence in them.
Right.
You know, and my part of teaching them is not the safety part, although I'll remind them certain things from time to time, but very rarely. My part is game behavior, scouting, technique, what to look for, mm-hmm. what to listen for, what
right.
what you can smell in the woods, what
right.
you can see, and that type of thing.
Right.
And, you know, and that's based on my years of experience out there, being out there. So,
right.
you know, and so far both of them have been very successful with us. So.
Right. Well, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, my goodness, because, you know, I'm trying, my plans is to go hunting on private land.
Yes.
But I thought to myself, well, I'm glad I'm not going into that chaos.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well,
all right. Well, thanks, Fran.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Good point she makes, folks. Very good. And somebody that very much thinks about every aspect of this, being new to it and not growing up in it. Let's put it that way. Hey, Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet dogs go wild for, with a mix of exotic protein and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Our grain-free recipes, made in the USA, offer the best nutrition for the dogs whose appetite was never domesticated. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. You know, our friends at Clyde Sports Shop asked me to remind you about the fine Browning firearms that they have available, and that's a good thing to do because, you know, Browning makes a wonderful product, that's for sure. And a fellow called in earlier about the trap shooting, and I want to tell you that Clyde's has a couple of models that you can use for the shooting sports. 725 Satori Sporting gun is an over and under shotgun, one barrel on top of the other. It's a perfect blend of beauty and performance. It has a lot of features that you will like as someone who is involved in the shooting sports. It also, then there's the BT-99, which is a single shot trap gun, the ideal competition shotgun for trap shooters of all ages. The BT-99 is set up specifically for the shooting sports. And the Satori, on the other hand, you can buy a field model for upland bird hunting if you like. That is what, after all, that is what clay bird shooting simulates, is, you know, the pursuit of live game birds, you know, doves, quail, pheasant, chucker, you name it, grouse. And that's why you train with the clay birds, so that you can develop your eye and eye-to-hand coordination and develop what you're supposed to look for. You can develop mounting the gun and aiming techniques and things like that. So it's a very reactive type of sport, the shotgun sport. Now, for hunters, there's the BPS pump shotgun from Browning and the A5. The A5 is the reinvention of the old A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. 3 and 3.5-inch chambers, 12-gauge, 100,000-round, or 5-year guarantee. Now available in 20-gauge as well. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. 410-242-6108 is their phone number. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment.
Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Are you looking for the truth? Find it every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I drive a John Deere tractor. Yeah, I work these fields sun up, sun down every day. I got a camo hat that says, get her done, and I believe in the American way. And I believe in God, and I believe I'll have a beer at the end of the day. 'Cause I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. A Remington 870 pump is in my pickup truck on the gun rack, and that's where she stays. I got a bumper sticker, says there ain't no life west of the Chesapeake Bay. I drink Budweiser beer in the 10-ounce can. Us locals call it the Shore Thing. I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA.
There you go. The Road Kings. Mr. Wheeler. That goes out to all our Eastern Shore listeners and friends and folks on the Eastern Shore. Let's talk to a preacher about, a camo preacher about Fran. Good morning there, camo
Good
preacher.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good, Russ. How about you?
Oh, not too bad, man.
What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to ditto Fran's comments. You know, I'm a hunter safety education instructor, and, you know, when we do the walkthroughs, when I first started doing it, you know, we would talk about scenarios, but now we actually do a walkthrough with some 3D targets in the woods, that sort of thing. And I'm amazed at not only the kids, but the adults who will not pay attention, even though it's a fake gun, a toy gun, they do not pay attention to that muzzle direction.
Right.
So I agree with Fran's comments. It's very difficult for a novice to really understand that muzzle direction, which is paramount to everything else in the safety out there. So for me, I believe that if somebody wants to learn to hunt, even if they're an adult, I don't mind taking them in my double-wide tree stand and having them sit with me, but they're not going to be armed with a bow or a gun. You know, I want to find out if they're really interested. You know, it's like it could be hours and hours of just sitting in sheer boredom, and then that 15 seconds of panic when something walks across.
Let me tell you something. That's a good point, and I like that point. Let me tell you, that is a great idea. Take them out there without a firearm or without a bow and teach them first, which is what I did with Jacob. Mm-hmm. Jacob and I hunted. We didn't get a chance to hunt together that often when he was, you know, before he took his hunter safety course. But Jacob and I would go out, I guess he was 10. Nine, ten, and I think when he was nine, I let him shoot my muzzleloader to empty it at the end of the season, and he did great. You know, he did great with it. The scope clocked him on the bridge of the nose, but that was okay. And he survived that, and his mother thought it was hilarious, but that's okay. but when he was ten, I guess we were in a stand. No gun for Jacob, not allowed to carry a gun. And I said, you know, boy, I hope a deer comes by because I want to test this young man. I want to see what his reactions are going to be. And 1:30 in the afternoon. There's no reason a deer should have showed up, but a nice little fat 4-point buck showed up, and I said, Jacob, there's a deer. I'm going to shoot it. And he goes, okay. So I lined up and shot the deer. He watched it. He watched the deer fall. He saw it fall before I did, and he took me right to it. So I'm thinking,
nice.
Okay.
Nice.
He watched it. He saw where it fell. This is all good. So I said, he goes, now what? I said, well, now we dress it. What do you mean? And I said, well, we got to remove the insides. He goes, okay. So I involved him a little bit in that, hold the leg, do this, do that, you know, and I didn't ask him to do any of the gnarly stuff. So I did all that, watching his reaction the whole time. And what the funniest part was, he said, can't you get like somebody to do this for you? I said, like who? And he said, well, like the butcher shop or something like that. I said, no, when you take it to the butcher shop, all this stuff has to be out of there. They don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
They don't have a capacity to do that. Oh, okay.
My son's going to be 7 in October.
Sure.
But a couple years ago, I started taking him in the woods to scout, preseason scout.
Sure.
And I actually wrote a little article that's been published a couple places about it called The Encounter. And
that's cool.
So... he's excited. I can tell he's excited. And,
yeah.
And we just picked him up some camo.
Yeah.
Full suit of camo for him this fall. It's my intention to take him in the tree stand with me, even though right now he's only 6, he'll be 7.
Right.
But, I mean, he's got a little bow, and he plays around with that and everything, but I need to find out how he's going to actually behave, be quiet, so still react.
Well, that was my point of the story
exactly.
That I was talking about Jacob at 10, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, he was into the whole process, helped me throw the deer on the truck and everything else. We had a little struggle getting it on the truck and driving back through the woods to get the deer, you know, and that type of thing. Well, the end of the story goes like this. So his grandmother on his dad's side said to him, Jacob, how was your hunting trip? And he said, fine, Pa got a deer. And he said, well, what happened? Well, you know, he dressed it out and all that stuff. Oh, my God. Oh, Jay. Oh, how'd you deal with that? He said, fine. She said, oh, Jay, are you sure? That sounds awful. You know, just a little overreaction type of thing. And I said, it's fine. You know, and Jacob said, Mama, he said, I watch CSI all the time.
Yeah.
That deer didn't bother me one bit.
That's right.
I thought that was the best answer you could ever imagine. So
yeah, to get back to Fran, you know, the thing that disturbs me about this whole thing, and I wonder if somebody else didn't make that idea in order to harm hunting in Maryland.
Right.
I'm sort of kidding, but, you know, the thing that, to me, at my observations teaching hunter safety education, is that actually the kids listen and follow directions a lot better than the grown men do.
Well, they know everything.
Men
know everything.
Men know everything. And even the women that have been in some of the classes, you know, they're so eager to learn, they just want to make sure they're doing it right.
Right, exactly.
The men already think they're doing it right no matter what they do.
You know, that's the nature of being a man.
It is. And, you know, I guess we're guilty, too. We probably have our issues in that area. But I just wanted to give some kudos to Fran, since she's never hunted and been out there. She really hit the mark, in my opinion, on why this is a bad idea. And as a hunter safety instructor, I just say I agree with her. I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, okay. You're certainly entitled to your opinion. That's what
right.
This show's all about.
Hey, Alan, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Russ. Appreciate
thank you
the
for
call.
Your work.
You got it. See ya.
Bye.
There he goes. All right. Merrick Backcountry. Merrick Backcountry. For dogs whose taste buds are still wild, we add chunks of real, freeze-dried raw meat to grain-free, high-protein kibble. Made in the USA with no ingredients from China, Merrick Backcountry is the ancestral diet preferred by dogs who prefer the outdoors. That's Merrick Backcountry. They love the wild as much as you do. So that's it. That's the end of the commercials for this hour, and we're still awaiting your phone calls. We got time for another call or maybe two, but we'll see how that works out. So while we're waiting, I was going to try and finish the article that I started, but that's okay. The story goes on talking about lion, the Cecil the lion, from the viewpoint of a person who grew up in Zimbabwe, in the villages, and where the lion was regarded as evil. The killing of Cecil hasn't garnered much more sympathy from urban Zimbabweans, although they live in with no such danger. Few have ever seen a lion, since game drives driving through these areas are luxury residents of a country with an average monthly income below $150 cannot afford. Don't misunderstand me. For Zimbabweans, wild animals have near mystical significance. We belong to clans, and each clan claims an animal totem as a mythological ancestor. Mine is Nzu, elephant, and by tradition, I can't eat elephant meat. It would be akin to eating a relative's flesh. But our respect for these animals has never kept us from hunting them or allowing them to be hunted. I'm familiar with dangerous animals. I lost my right leg to snake bite when I was 11. The American tendency to romanticize animals that have been given actual names and to jump onto a hashtag train has turned an ordinary situation. There were 800 lions legally killed over a decade by well-heeled foreigners who shelled out serious money to prove their prowess into what seems my Zimbabwean eyes as an absurdist circus. An absurdist circus. PETA is calling for the hunter to be hanged. Zimbabwean politicians are accusing the United States of staging Cecil's killing as a ploy to make our country look bad. And Americans who can't find Zimbabwe on a map are applauding the nation's demand for the extradition of the dentist. Unaware that a baby elephant was reportedly slaughtered for our president's most recent birthday banquet. We Zimbabweans are left shaking our heads, wondering why Americans care more about African animals than about African people. Don't tell us what to do with our animals when you are allowed your own mountain lions to be hunted to near extinction in the eastern United States. Don't bemoan the clear cutting of our forest when you turned yours into concrete jungles. And please don't offer me condolences about Cecil unless you're also willing to offer me condolences for the villagers killed or left hungry by his brethren, political violence, or by hunger. That article is by Goodwell Nzu, a doctoral student in molecular and cellular biosciences at Wake Forest University. It is from the op-ed section of the New York Times, August 4th. If you would like to Google that, you can just go to the New York Times website. It's right on the homepage down the bottom right. Let's talk to Wesley in Westminster and talk about Fran's comments here for a minute. Go ahead there, Wes. Real quick.
Hey, I just got one little comment about it. You know, I'm not sure I understand, because in Maryland, our hunter safety courses are free. So, you know, if it was a $500 investment to see if you like it, I'd say, okay, you know, maybe there is something to that. But it's not costing you anything to take the course.
Good point.
There's so much good information. It's well worth 100 times that.
Well, I think this is a mentoring program to see if the kids are truly interested in getting out there in the woods, and if adults are truly out there. And you know, quite frankly, it's to try and make things convenient for those of us who, quote, don't have any time. Take the time.
I'm one of them, and I still think, you know, I find the time to get my boys out there.
I got you.
I find the time to make sure that they're, you know,
yep.
into
Gotta
it.
Gotta go, Wes. Sorry, buddy. Thanks. All right. Get out. Whatever I say. Goodbye.